We want to be a church that we build our lives and any structure that we have as a church, we build on God's word. We build on his desires for his church. And we believe that's to know God, find community, and live on mission. I believe, especially given how emotionally driven we can be, how forgetful we oftentimes are, I believe, given how distracted you and I can be, I believe that is the very reason we need to always be concerned with our foundation. Constantly repeating it, constantly looking back to it, constantly evaluating what we're doing in light of it. That's why we care so much about ABC Connect. Okay? With that being said, let's move on in our outline. And if you will, join me there right before number one. We want to show you that we are building on a foundation of leading people to know God, find community, and live on mission. I bet you didn't know that yet. Okay, here we go. Number one, let's look at know God. And what we want to ask is, you know, why do we say this? And what do we mean when we say it? And so I want to give you a truth, and you see it on your outline, and it's this, is that we believe that everyone, this is every single person we believe in the whole world, we believe everyone will make someone or something ultimate in their life. Everyone will make someone or something ultimate in their life. And think about this. Don't think about the worst of things. Think about the best of things. What about relationships and family? What about academic achievements? My word, we're looking at how fun are the Olympic Games right now. I'll talk about those in just a minute, but really, like, so fun. I love watching the Olympics. These physical achievements, these goals that they've set since they were tiny. And now we're watching them just accomplish and excel today. Like, it's awesome. These kind of achievements, these are good things. What about money? Who in here has learned quickly? Like, you used to didn't think money mattered that much, and then you became like an adult, and you were like, oh no, you have to buy things. Like, you have to have money to do things in life. Like, I can't just, you know, I always thought like our bills just paid themselves. Like, that's what it was like at the Brooks and Debbie Mache house. And then there was that day when I was about 20 and I moved into my home and I got those first like power bill, and they always bump it up, that for you college students that are moving in, all those like things that you get, like your cable and everything. And then all of a sudden that first month you get it and it's like, I thought it was $69 a month. Well, actually it's $69 plus $400. Okay. And then, you know, you realize, and so like, it's really frustrating, but like, money is not a bad thing. Money's not a bad thing. At Alberta Baptist, we want you to know, like, if you're a business leader, we want you to excel in your business. Oh my goodness. Like, we want you to do so well at what you do. Like, money is not a bad thing. But if we live for money as an ultimate reality, if that's our goal in life, we're gonna crash. Okay? And so, like, when we say, like, money, relationships, stuff, a possession, a house, like, these things aren't bad, but if we make them ultimate, they're destructive. Education, jobs. I just told you about enjoyed watching the Olympics so far. And when I say I've enjoyed watching them, I'm an emotional person. Okay? But, like, I can't handle any more of this gymnastic stuff. Like, I can't handle it. Like, these girls land their last routine, and I'm fighting it. Like, I'm fighting the tears. Like, I don't even know why. I'm like, I don't even know her. Like, I know her mama's crying, but, like, why am I wanting to cry right now? I mean, they're just awesome. These swimmers, I'm screaming at the TV. I've never done that for anything but Alabama football, but I'm yelling at the TV. You know, for Katie Ledecky, what a boss. Like, she's awesome. I mean, like, I'm just watching them, and they're amazing. They're amazing. Michael Phelps' story has intrigued my mind these last few days, watching him just excel in his sport, but then hearing him talk about his story over the last few years makes exactly what I'm saying so clear. Michael Phelps, if you've watched what his story, and it's an incomplete story. They don't tell us everything that's going on, and I'm not going to make the case that he's just rocking through life today. But what I want to do is say this, is that he tells the story after the 2012 Olympics, which he was awesome at. Like, he was unstoppable. After he achieved these gold medals and these things that were like, this is the pinnacle of your sport, and you rocked it. Only to get home and feel like he was the lowest of the lows. Like he didn't think he even had a desire to live. His self-worth and self-esteem was just crushed. He got two DUIs, felt the weight of the world's eyes on him, with substance abuse, with struggles with himself emotionally. He is proving to us that it's not enough to achieve that goal that you had. It will not in the end satisfy you the way you thought it would. Mark Dever is one of my favorite writers. He said this. He says, wrong desires satisfied will never satisfy. Like, it can be really good things. Like, I wanted him. Do you know how much I wanted him to win all of those gold medals? Like, the silver, I felt like we just lost. Like, I was like, yeah, I mean, I want him to win it all. But listen, I knew that gold medal wouldn't complete that guy. I'll give you another example. I love my family. I'm so proud of my family. My daughters are precious. Lucy was in here today. She moved up into the children's program today. It was her first day there with Miss Cindy, and which is sad for me a little bit, but she's, you know, first grader now, and she just looks so big and awesome. You know, she was just carrying her little Bible around like a little soldier for the Lord. You know, just awesome. I mean, she's just there. And I mean, I'm proud of my kids. I'm proud of Lucy. I'm proud of Annie. I'm proud of Hazel. I'm so proud of Catherine. She is the best wife. She is the best mother. I love her more today than I loved her yesterday. Tomorrow, I'll figure out how to love her even more. I don't know how that happens, but listen to me. Catherine cannot be ultimate in my life. My girls are wonderful. They cannot be ultimate in my life. And let me tell you why. They are wonderful daughters. They're wonderful. That's a wonderful wife, a wonderful best friend, but horrible gods. They're horrible gods. If I make them ultimate, I am crushing them, making it impossible for them to succeed and me to have true joy and satisfaction. Only Jesus Christ, only the gospel of Jesus, who he is, what he's done, and who I am in him makes sense out of who I am as a husband, as a dad, and as a friend. It will only make sense of who Michael Phelps is as a swimmer and a competitor and a man. Who Christ is, what Christ has done, and who you are or who you can be in him is the only thing that will make sense out of all of the other things in your life. Romans 1 tells us a very scary reality, and that reality is this. Verse 21 of chapter 1 says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Verse 24, the word of God says, therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. And listen why. Because don't think this is about just those bad people. The gospel of Jesus is not about good, bad people who become good. The gospel of Jesus is about dead people who receive life. And when we read this, we see, man, this is all of us. Listen, he says, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. All of us are guilty of this very thing, of taking something created, taking the gift, and celebrating it as if it's the giver. It's not. The gospel of Jesus helps us to be resurrected from a life of worshiping things that are gifts. and instead be opened up to a life where these gifts only serve the joy that God desires to give to his people and accomplish the purposes that he's given to his church. We want people to know God and worship God and make God ultimate, to make Jesus Christ ultimate in their life. Look at that next point. We desire people to see Christ as ultimate and see everything else through the lenses of who he is, what he has done, and who we are, or if you are outside of Christ today, listen, who you can be, who you can become in him. Only then will our money, relationships, our stuff, and our achievements make sense. We want you to know God by following Christ and being baptized in him. The next couple of weeks, we're going to have a few baptisms and just excited about the individuals who were celebrating their coming to Christ and following him. We want to celebrate people knowing God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Also, we want people to grow in Jesus. That's why we teach and that's why we preach through books of the Bible. Like, we don't want to create like things to talk about on Sunday mornings. I only want to do this kind of message like a couple of times a year. Like, I want you to say, you got Romans chapter 2. And I'll say, thank you. Okay, like that's what I'm looking for, is teaching, walking through books of the Bible. And the reason why is this, is because we believe outside of God's word and outside of understanding deeper the gospel of Jesus, we can't grow. Write down this truth. It's one that you should just have kind of in front of your mind daily. The way that you are saved is the same way that you are sanctified. The gospel that saves you is the gospel that sanctifies your soul. The way you come to Jesus is the same way that you grow in him. It's by seeing and believing and putting into application the gospel of Jesus in your life. This semester, starting September 11th, we're going to be teaching through the book of Romans. That may take 12 years. I'm not sure, but we're going to begin on September 11th, and Keith and I are very excited to do this. All of your ministry leaders, if you're in college, I know Kyle's been working through everything for the semester. Jared's been working on what he will do with youth, Cindy with children, and just all of our classes and life groups. Everybody is desiring to help push you to know God. Secondly, we desire for you to find community. Kind of point underneath that is this, it's kind of the universal truth here, is this. We believe that everyone somewhere in their hearts desires to belong. Everyone desires to belong. Some people are much more verbal of that. Some people have taught themselves out of believing that that's their desire anymore. But everyone is born into this world with a desire to belong, a desire to matter, a desire to be needed, a desire to be known, a desire to be loved and cared for. All of you have that. And I do too. We believe that we were created for community. We believe that the God who created us is a God who is triune in his nature, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Before the foundation of the world, he was a community within himself. And he created us in his image, with a need for community, with a need for relationships. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It wasn't suitable for man to be alone. So God created by his grace someone to be a partner for Adam. He brought him community. He already had it. Adam had it with the Lord, but he desired him to have community with another human being, with Eve. We believe that you were created for community. We also believe that there was a great fall that happened in Genesis chapter 3. And at the fall of man, not only was our relationship broken with the Lord, but our relationship with one another was broken. And what that looked like in the garden was this, as when God started coming towards pursuing Adam and Eve, they began to hide from the Lord. We believe the gospel helps bring you out of the darkness into light, and you can know him through Christ Jesus our Lord. We also believe that in that same garden, you read in chapter 3, we see that they covered themselves up. They were naked and ashamed. They had not covered themselves up before, but then they began what has replayed over and over and over again since Genesis chapter 3 in the lives of every person that's been born, is this desire to hide from who we really are. Biblical community, because of the gospel of grace, the gospel of Jesus, when people believe that we were once not a people, but now we are a people. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. Once we see who we are in Christ Jesus, it creates our ability to be transparent and be honest with other people. We're able then to, in a sense, not try to cover up or hide, but instead, with the grace that we see in Christ Jesus, we can be open and honest and real with someone else. We can be known to God. He knows us. He knows what we're really like, and He still loves us. He still loves us. And in the church, the biblical community, when we understand the gospel rightly, we can be who we are today and yet still be loved in the church. That's what we want to see, as you find community. The way that we articulate that a lot is this, is we want to see you move from rows, like you have in here, into circles. We want to see you move from circles to community. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean it very, very simple. What we're doing today in this room has so much purpose, and I believe is vital for the work that the Lord is doing here at Alberta Baptist Church. I believe it's so important. Because what you're doing is you're being led and guided through God's word by your pastors. I think that's very important. We're celebrating and worshiping Jesus together as we sing together and as we study God's word together, as we give together. We see baptism here. We take the Lord's Supper together. The ordinances are done here. This is a very important time, but we don't believe that it's enough. It's not enough. It's enough for you to come to know God and certainly experience some community here with God's people. You can high-five people in the hallway. You can know somebody's name. You can be encouraged here. Sunday school is a wonderful place for you to receive encouragement through the teaching of God's word. I think it's the greatest environment we have for our children to be taught. It's a great environment for you to be taught, but we want you to have an environment where you are out of rows into circles. Now, you can be in a small group. You can be in a Sunday school class. You can be in a life group. You can be in whatever, and it is literally just a circle. I'm sure some of you have been there before where you went somewhere to a small group and it wasn't biblical community. It was just a circle. The difference is when you see the gospel transform the lives of those who are applying His word together, all of a sudden you see what used to be a circle become actual biblical community, a place where people can be real and yet loved, a place where people can be needed and feel and express their desire to be needed and known and loved and cared for. We asked our life group a few weeks ago, you know, do you feel needed? Do you feel cared for? And I was really shocked by some of the answers that I heard. I've asked a lot of people those questions. You would be shocked at what people said. They didn't necessarily feel needed. They didn't necessarily feel loved. And being able to hear the heart of one another, all of a sudden you begin to see how truth is spoken across the room into the hearts and the lives of one another, and community is born. We want to see a people become what we studied all summer long. People who love one another and serve one another and are kind to one another and encourage one another. We want to see these one another commands that we studied all summer. We want to see those become the reality of our people's lives. We want you to find community. That next point there under find community is we desire people to have their desire to belong primarily met through the biblical community in the church. We believe people try to find community anywhere, whether it's at your gym, your school, your job, whatever it may be. And there's some really neat communities you can connect to. But let's let the church be the most welcoming, the most inviting, the most loving, the most sincere community on the planet. Okay? And let people experience that here at Alberta Baptist Church. They know God, find community. Lastly, live on mission. We believe that everyone wants to make a difference in this world. Once again, it doesn't mean everybody can articulate this the same way. It doesn't mean that everyone has the same level of conviction. But deep down, everybody wants to make a difference. Everybody wants their lives to count in some way. Every single night, I pray over my girls that they would know and follow the Lord, that they would be a blessing to those around them, and that they would make a difference in this world. That's what I pray for them. I want them to make a difference. I love what Lucas Johnson said on the video. He said he believes it will revolutionize our city. What a good word, Lucas, wherever you are, if you're here today. Wow. Great word. And really, that's what we believe. We believe that God's word has the power to certainly transform, but like to revolutionize the way we think and what we see around us. And so, the last thing is that we're saying not only know God, find community, but to live on mission, to be a people who are living for something bigger than themselves. That's what we want to see. We see this in the Great Commission. Jesus calls us, Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. He says that all authority in heaven and on earth, he owns, he has. He says, now I want you to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have given to you. And he encourages them. He says, and I will be with you always. I will be with you. He calls us to go and make disciples of all nations, disciples of Jesus. The great commandment, Matthew 22, for us to love God and love one another. This is what we're called to as a church. To make a difference in this world by the way we love one another and we proclaim the message of Jesus Christ to the world. I want to close today with a thought. It's a thought that we looked at a few weeks ago in our Bible doctrine class, but it's this. It's Jesus Christ on the night before he will be crucified. He is sitting around a table with his disciples, and he's been talking to them. He's been encouraging them. They've all found out about Judas and found out about lots of negative things, but also Jesus gives them the line that they could not get out of their mind that night, and he says this. He says, I'm going somewhere that you cannot come. I'm going somewhere, and you can't follow me. You can't come with me. He says, but greater things will you do in my absence because I'm going to the Father, and the Father will send his helper, a helper to you. I want to read for you in John chapter 16, what Jesus says to his disciples on the night where they were crushed that he was leaving. I want you to hear the words of Christ here. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, the helper will come. The question that we asked that night was really inspired actually by a subtitle of a book that I was reading by J.D. Greer. It was called Jesus Continued. And here's the question that he poses that I think is so wonderful, and it helps encourage us when we think of living on mission. He asked the question, do you believe that it is better to have the Holy Spirit of God inside you or to have Jesus sitting beside you? Corny, yes, but very effective. Do you believe that it's better to have the Holy Spirit of God inside you or to have Jesus next to you? Well, Jesus Christ believed very much so that it was far to their advantage for him to go so that he would send the helper, the Holy Spirit, to indwell his people, to accomplish his mission, to live on mission. Acts chapter 2, they receive the Holy Spirit. From Acts chapter 2 to Acts chapter 28, the world is flipped upside down because of the gospel. The gospel goes from Jerusalem to Rome in some 30 years. And now today, we stand believing the truth that went out from 12 super dysfunctional people in the first century. We believe it today because of the Holy Spirit of God, the power of God to accomplish what God has called his people to. We're called to live on mission. We believe that each of you, every single person in this room, if you are in Christ, you have a role in the body. We believe that you are a member that matters. We believe that you have gifts given by Jesus himself, and we want you to use those gifts to serve, yes, within the body, but to make a difference in this world. We want you to use the mind that you have, the dreams that you have, the passions that you have, the talents that you have. We want you to use those and bring them into this vision for people to know God, find community, and live on mission. And use those ideas, those dreams, to accomplish the work of making disciples among all peoples. We believe that God can use you much better than he can use us alone. We want to equip you to do the work of ministry here at Alberta Baptist Church. Equip you to live on mission. Response today, and Jennifer, as you come up, our response today is, one is this. I want to ask all of our people, as you go ahead and stand, I want to ask you, if you will, to be in prayer. And here's what I want to ask you to pray. That God would help give you great conviction and great passion about laying a foundation of this, is that God desires us to help people know God, find community, and live on mission. I want you to begin to ask, you know, do I desire this? Do I agree with this? Am I on board with this? And I want you to begin praying, and I think this is a great place to pray. It's good to see people pray, and so there's nothing like extra spiritual about a step, but like, I wouldn't mind to see some people come and intercede for the work that Jesus desires to do here at Alberta Baptist Church. And here's, you know, ask him to just bless. Ask him to do what he said he wants to do here. He cares much more about making a difference in the world than you do. He cares much more about people coming to know him than we do. May we go to him and ask for his power and his grace as we, in a very imperfect way, try to accomplish what he's called us to do. So let's pray together. And the response I want to give you is this. You heard a little bit of it on the video, but we're going to say it this way. And next week is what the whole message is about. But our response today is this, is to move from agreeing with this vision to taking ownership of it. That's of each member of this church, that we move from just agreeing with, yeah, that's a good idea, to taking ownership of it in our own lives. We believe that God will change the world if we'll take ownership of this vision. Seek the Lord today regarding this. Pray with me. Father, we love you. We thank you for what you certainly have done.